Marquette to Monroe, you're listening to the Steve Gruber Show on MTN, the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, let's take a different tack for a few minutes, shall we? We're going to talk about the corporate average fuel economy. You call them CAFE standards. Big conversation about that taking place. Obviously, the tact has changed since the change in administrations. Barack Obama trying to make them high, artificially high, to the point of who knows if they could be achieved. Donald Trump pulling those back in. Steve Aloy here, publishes junkscience.com, served on the Trump EPA transition team, and is the author of Scare Pollution. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you here. I like to, like most Americans, I like big vehicles. And that's a fact. This whole notion, remember when they used to tell us how Americans want small cars? No, they don't. We would drive Sherman tanks if we could get away with it.
Yeah.
I like big cars. I have pickup trucks and Suburbans. And, the only reason I drive a Suburban is they don't make anything bigger. But the CAFE standards would crush it. And that's where all the profitability is in the big three and all the car makers. The SUVs is where the money is, right?
Well, absolutely. In 2012, President Obama doubled fuel economy standards by 2025. There's no way to meet that standard. The technology doesn't exist. Didn't exist then. Doesn't exist now. It's not on the drawing boards. The only way car makers can make that standard is to fit everybody into small cars and electric vehicles, which, of course, nobody wants. They're not profitable for the car makers. It's just lose, lose, lose.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, all right, tell me where we are with the CAFE standards. There's some push and push back and some give and some take, and where are we headed forward?
Well, so EPA has proposed to basically freeze the standards at 2020 levels, which is basically where they are now. There's a public comment period going on right now. EPA is actually taking public comment at a hearing in Dearborn today. Hopefully they will finalize this by the end of the year. Another part of the Obama legacy will go poof.
And as it goes away, what does it mean, practically speaking? If the CAFE standards are backed off and put to a more reasonable place, what does it mean for the consumer? What does it mean for the companies that build cars? What does it mean for their employees? What does it mean for basically everyone, Steve?
Well, let's start with consumers. Says consumers, new cars will be more affordable. Trump administration estimates an average of $2,300. I've seen estimates as high as $7,000 less in cost to consumers. Consumers will be able to get new cars sooner. The average age of a car on the road today is 12 years. Newer cars are safer cars. The sooner we can get people into newer cars, it's great for the economy. It's safer for the consumers. Trump administration estimates that its rule and rollback of the Obama standards is going to save 12,000 lives a year. The reason Obama promulgated these rules to start with was, of course, global warming. But if you do the math, it's pretty simple. by the year 2100, the Obama rules would have reduced global temperature, only hypothetically, by 0.03 of a degree. It's not even measurable.
Not measurable, and then you have to take into account other factors. If there was a major volcanic eruption, for example, the global temperature could drop 2 or 3 degrees, depending on how much ash production there was in the atmosphere,
the whole thing
right?
It's just, justifying these, people have to drive smaller, more dangerous cars because of global warming is crazy.
Right. But if you don't drive smaller cars, you're a racist and a misogynist and xenophobic you're all of these terrible things, Steve. Frankly, who the hell do you think you are? Let me just get that off my chest.
So who's not going to, people can get into newer cars sooner, save money, drive what they want. It's all about consumer choice.
People How dare you SUVs think that people can do what they want?
Car makers make the most money.
No. You see, your problem there is your environmental justice warriors. You're not taking into account the environmental justice warriors and their needs and their feelings.
I'm sorry.
See, there's your problem. You're not taking into account their feelings because they feel that they should be different. And they feel, it's interesting, though, isn't it, that all these environmental justice warriors, they still use Uber and they still use mass transportation and they get on planes and everything else. They sound like a bunch of disingenuous boobs to me.
Right. Well, and they drive SUVs. They're going to benefit from this, too. They'll complain about it, but they'll still benefit from it.
Of course they will. Meanwhile, as you look, I mean, I don't mind there being better gasoline standards. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I was rolling down the road yesterday. I looked down at the Suburban that I drive.
Yeah.
And well, we're getting 20. I'm getting almost 21 miles to the gallon. I'm like, all right, then. That's cool to me.
Well, yeah. It's really incredible. Technology is amazing. But, you know, I don't really think we need fuel economy standards to start with. You know, we got these things out of the 1970s when we had the oil crisis. Well, that's gone. There's no such thing as peak oil anymore. We're awash in oil, and we'll be for the foreseeable future. We just don't even really need these things.
Well, that's, you know, right. I mean, you know, America's
maybe,
now...
Maybe in the 70s you could justify it, but now, pff, no way.
Well, and as you look at the technology with vehicles, yes, there can be major advances and some things can be done, and they have. I mean, vehicles don't get 8 miles a gallon now. They get 18 or 28, far better than we ever used to. The amount of pollution coming out of the tailpipe, far different. We don't have lead being emitted into the atmosphere like we did in the 1960s and 70s and for years before that. But you also have the law of diminishing returns. I mean, you can only go so far on CAFE standards before you get to the point that your resources being invested, as you point, 3/1,000ths of a degree. That's the law of diminishing returns. What are you really getting out of it at some point, Steve?
Yeah, nothing. And, you know, the Obama administration set this up so that, you know, the federal government is supposed to be, if we're going to have fuel economy standards, they should be dictated by the federal government, not by the state of California.
Dictate.
And this was set up to be so that California could tell us what kind of cars we can drive.
Well, right.
I mean, Governor Moonbeam telling me what I can drive.
I'm pretty sure that I don't want California to tell me much of anything about much of anything, I think. And Steve, we got to leave it there for today. Greatly appreciate your time,
all
Steve,
right,
Malloy.
Thank you.
JunkScience.com if you want to find out more and drive big fancy cars and Governor Moonbeam and all that happy stuff. By the way, if you don't have your taxes under control, I just say to you, why not? I've been giving you a way to get that done. Chris McClatcher is his name, a Michigan guy. A CPA, an attorney. If you haven't filed your taxes or you haven't been paying attention, I mean, we've heard stories from Chris about people that haven't paid tax in 10 or 15 years. I'm like, why? What are you doing? Well, you know, just got behind and then just decided never to do it. Clean up your act if that's a problem. If you also are in a position where you owe the IRS money or the state of Michigan money, he's there to help you. He's got 25 years of experience. Very simple. Get your taxes in order anywhere, statewide in Michigan. If you're hearing me talk, Chris McClatcher is here to help you. Go to SteveGruber.com. Click on the Fresh Start banner to find out more. SteveGruber.com. Click on the Fresh Start banner to find out more and get your taxes in order. It's the Steve Gruber Show.